Okay. Morning, everyone. Today's Daf and Gittin is Pei Tes. We are in Pei Ches Amud Beis. Thank the Lupin Foundation for sponsorship of the Daf. Daf is on the Zech Nishmas Liba, Gabriela Bashmuel. We are discussing Get Mausa, the fourth get. The husband is reluctant to give a get, and there are grounds for a divorce, and it's necessary for him to give a divorce. And we know the halach is that a husband has to give the divorce willingly. And on the other hand, the woman, on the other hand, does not have to be a willing participant of the recipient of the get. She just simply needs to be receive the get. So how does it work? So the Mishnah says it's very simple. So you encourage the man to do it, and if necessary, you coerce the man to do it. That is the Mishnah on Pei Ches Amud Beis. We quoted already yesterday the Rambam. It's almost like you can't say the Mishnah without the Rambam. The Rambam says that how can you force somebody to do something if he has to do it willingly? So isn't forcing going to compromise his willingness? So the Rambam writes, no, it's not, because Me'ikar Hadin, really at the root of every person, the person wants to do the right thing. The person does not want to do things that are incorrectly or against halacha. Just happens to be that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us a Yetzirah. And the only reason why the husband is being reluctant right now is because of his Yetzirah. So basically, says the Rambam, you're beating the Yetzirah out of him. But really, Beratzon Be'etzem, he really wants to do the right thing. That's the Rambam's understanding here of the Mishnah. There's one other example in halacha where Kofin Osachiyam Arotza Ani, that you hit him until he says, I want to do it, and that's by Karban. Karban also has to be L'Ratzon Chem, the carbon has to be given willingly. So on occasion, if the person doesn't want to bring the carbon, so once again, the motivation / coercion / getting him to do what he really wants to do. That is the basic idea. The Mishnah made a distinction between a based in Yisrael forcing the get out of him versus based in Akum. Let's start again from the Mishnah. We did this yesterday, but let's begin one more time. Get Musa b'Yisrael kashav avdiko chavim pasul. So the Gemara says if it was coerced by a Jewish court, so then it's a valid get. If it was coerced by a non-Jewish court, so it's invalid get. However, what the Jewish court can do is they could use the non-Jewish court as a, kind of like a policeman, as an enforcer, meaning that really this is coming from the psak of the Jewish court, and the non-Jewish court is just simply there doing the actual coercion itself. That, the Mishnah says, would be fine, that would be acceptable. The Gemara starts off the discussion. If the get was coerced by a Jewish court, so then it would be kosher. Now, kedin. What does that mean? What does that mean? Kedin, meaning under the proper circumstances, under the proper context. Look at Rashi. Right? There are many times throughout the Mishnayos where the halach is yotzei v'yitein ksuva, that under certain circumstances he has to divorce her, and he has to give her a ksuva. So under those circumstances, she's entitled to a get. So if the Jewish court extricates a get out of him, that's fine. That's totally acceptable. Now, shalokedin. Let's say it was shalokedin, meaning that there wasn't enough grounds for a divorce, and for whatever reason, Beis Din acted inappropriately, with impropriety, and they tried to extract a get out of him. So the Mishnah over here says pasul. Such a get would be pasul because Beis Din does not have the right to extract a get out of him. However, uposel. On the other hand, however, she will become pasul. Meaning, even though the divorce is not a divorce, nevertheless, she's called a divorced woman. Legabe Cohen. She cannot marry a Cohen from this point going forward, because even though the get is not a get, but it still has a reach a get. And like we learned a couple times in the Masechta, a woman with a reach a get, meaning even though the get was not a valid get, but there was a form of a get given to her, so the Kedushas Kohuna demands that such a woman cannot marry into the Kohanim.
An Aguna cannot marry a Kohen?
An Aguna? Well, Aguna can't marry anybody. Okay. Over de kochavim kedin pasul posto shlo kedin afilo recha getein bol. So the Gemara says, now when it comes to a non-Jew, so in the non-Jewish court, so kedin pasul posto. So if they do it and there were grounds and it's the right occasion for them to force and coerce the get. The only problem is, and it's not a small problem, is that it's a non-Jewish court. So pasul the get's no good. However, posel. Once again, this will have a reach get. However, shalokedin afilu reach get ein bo. Now, if it was shalokedin, So now you have two strikes. Number one, it's a non-Jewish court. Number two, there wasn't grounds for a divorce. So here says the Gemara, the ruling of Shmuel, is that this is nothing. It doesn't even have a reich aget. So the Gemara says, now let's try to understand. So the Gemara says, if they have the right to impose and force a get, so then if there are grounds for the divorce, so then it should be fine. And if there is no grounds for divorce, I'm sorry, and if they don't have the ability to force a get, so then even if there was grounds, but it still should be nothing. Essentially, what the Gemara is asking is very simple. What is the fundamental law about a non-Jewish court? Can they or can they not force a get? If yes, so then it should be valid. And if not, then there should be no validity to whatsoever. And meanwhile, the statement of Shmuel takes this kind of middle position. Well, even though there are grounds, it's not a good get, but there's still a reich get. Well, you gotta choose a side on this issue. So the Gemara says, "Amar Rav Mishashi Dvar Torah get Meusa Bov Dechochavim Kasher." So the Gemara says, "We'll start the discussion like this. Really, Meikar Adin Court. Fundamentally, a non-Jewish court has just as much of a right and an ability to force a get as a Jewish court. That's the fundamental position. Amru, however, Umatam Amru Pasul. However, the Chachamim interceded, and the Chachamim said that really it's Pasul. Shalote Kol Achas VaAchas Kol Achas VeTolatz Ma Bov VeKochavim." Because the Gemara says this, what's going to happen is that once there's an allowance for a non-Jewish court, so then what a woman's going to do in a marriage that she's not happy is she will exploit the law and she will go to a non-Jewish court. The non-Jewish court will not do the kind of investigation and the kind of analysis that a Jewish court would do. And so if there is an allowance for a non-Jewish court to force a get, so that will be used and exploited. The Chachamim didn't want that to be exploited. Therefore, the Chachamim said no. So the Gemara says, I'm not following. If you're right, meaning that the fundamental position is that a non-Jewish court can actually force a get. That's the fundamental position. So if it's Shalom Kedin, so now if I have a non-Jewish court, and there wasn't grounds for divorce, and they forced it. So then, afilu recha again ein bo, v'nehavi shlo kedin ki Yisrael, umafsa nami lifso. Gemara asks a fantastic question. Well, if we're saying that the fundamental position of a non-Jewish court is that really they can force a get, so really the halacha should mimic the Jewish court. Meaning, in a Jewish court, if they force a get, what's the halacha? Well, if there's grounds, a get is a valid get. And if there's no grounds, it's not valid, but she's pasul kahuna. In the non-Jewish court, shouldn't we say the same thing? Shouldn't our conclusion be the same? To which the Gemara says, Allah hadra misharsha badusahi. So the Gemara says, really, the explanation of misharsha is really badusa. Badusa, sometimes expressed in the Gemara as barusa, meaning it's outside, or if you want, you could say it's just simply, it was humor, not like funny humor, but like, and not something to be taken seriously. V'tam amai kedin. I'm sorry. V'tam amai kedin b'kedin de Yisrael mechlef. Shelo kedin b'kedin Yisrael lo mechlef. So the Gemara says, and really, what's at issue over here is really a gzeira derabanan. A gzeira derabanan where, if there were grounds for divorce, and we allow the court of a non-Jew to adjudicate and to try to extract a divorce, so so the people are going to say, well, it wasn't accepted, and it doesn't even have a reach again. So the Gemara says the same thing was going to be said regarding a Jewish court as well. However, but already now, if it's a non-Jewish court and there wasn't grounds for divorce, you are so far removed from the ikar halacha of having a Jewish court extract a divorce under the proper grounds. The Gemara says there's just simply no hachlafa. No one's going to confuse those cases, and there simply is no grounds for making any kind of gzera altogether. So Abai founds Rav Yosef in Rav Yosef's court, and they're forcing a husband to give again. The Gemara says, I'm going to express the following problem. We are not mumchim. we are not experts. Experts, what does that mean? Rashi, shein mumchen ela smuchim. In order to be a mumcha, says Rashi, you have to be samuch, you have to have smicha. Ode mikre elokim, dayanin. Ve'ein smicha b'chus ha'aretz kedamrin perakam of the Sanhedrin. And Rashi quotes the first chapter of Sanhedrin, where the Gemara over there says that in order to have smicha, you have to be living in Eretz Yisrael. Abai and Rav Yosef were living in Bavel. They were Rashi Yeshiva and Bavel. So they don't have smicha, right? The smicha that is a mesorah from Moshe Rabbeinu, v'chule v'chule. And so how can they adjudicate such a scenario, such a case? So the Gemara says, v'tanya, and the Gemara just supports this position. If you have an assembly of non-Jews, and even though they litigate and they legislate, and the whole judicial system is built around Jewish law, you still can go. You cannot go to a non-Jewish court. All forms of adjudication has to go in front of a Jewish court. And that's not the reason why we brought it down over here. The reason why we brought this down is for the next point, which is lifnei v'lo hejotos. Anytime you have any type of adjudication, you can't go to hejot. You have to go to mumchem. You have to go to people who have smicha. So, question, very simple question. How could it be that we have the right to force a get? That kind of adjudication cannot be done by hedyotos, and we, says Abaye to Rav Yosef, are hedyotos. So the Gemara says, Midahave odas valvas. So the Gemara says, okay, you're right. Of course, we on our own cannot go ahead and do this type of judicial system. We cannot adjudicate on our own. However, shluchaisu, we are emissaries of Eretz Yisrael, meaning we're basically given, invested the authority to adjudicate based on the fact that there is musmachim in Eretz Yisrael. The Gemara says it's no different than hodas v'avas, meaning, look, we litigate and we adjudicate when it comes to lending. How do we do that? We don't have smicha. We don't live in Eretz Yisrael, so the reason why we do that is based on this principle of shluchayu. We are emissaries of those living in Eretz Yisrael. So the Gemara says, "I hachi gzels v'chavos nami." So the Gemara says, "Well, if you're right, so, and we do have the power to set up a court and to adjudicate based on shluchayu, on this principle, so why don't we also adjudicate cases of gzelos v'chavolos? Take a look at Rashi. What makes these so unique? Rashi, it's the first sugya in Sanhedrin where the Gemara over there says that outside of Eretz Yisrael, we don't legislate theft and chavala and bodily damage. So the Gemara says, "Ki avdin shluchayu b'melsa d'shchicha, b'melsa lo shchicha lo avdin shluchayu." So the Gemara says, "Well, it goes like this: we are given the power invested by the musmachim of Eretz Yisrael, and we do adjudicate, but only those things which are quote unquote common and frequent. Common and frequent are things like loans, admissions." But things like bodily damage, things like gzela, they are infrequent, and we are not given the authority to adjudicate over matters like that because they're simply not common. Take a look at the second to last Tosfos on the Amud, fascinating discussion. Tosfos over there says, "Umashana makablam gerim." Right? What do we do nowadays? Again, we don't have smicha nowadays. Just as a parenthetical note, which is a point of interest, the Rambam tried to... Rav Yosef Cairo. Okay, better and correct. Rav Yosef Cairo tried to jumpstart the smicha once again. Right? In Eretz Yisrael in the 15th century, so Rav Yosef Cairo got together, he assembled together the Chachmei Tzfas, and he tried to jumpstart smicha. He based it on a Rambam. That's why I said Rambam. He bases it on the opinion of the Rambam. The Rambam's opinion is that even though the smicha was broken, but it can be restarted again if you get a unanimous viewpoint of the chachamim of your generation. So you could restart smicha in Eretz Yisrael. So Rav Yosef Cairo, who was living in Eretz Yisrael in the 15th century, so he had together with him a collection of Tamid Chachamim up in Tzfas. So he tried to reboot it, as you probably can guess. or you know already it was an unsuccessful attempt. So anyway, that's just as an interesting aside. Tosfos over here wonders out loud, well, you know, the Gemara now makes the following distinction. When it comes to things which are common, like loans, like admissions, so those are things which we can litigate outside of Eretz Yisrael because of this principle of Shulchayu. How about and things like Chavala and Gezel, we can't. How about, says Tosfos, Geirus, conversions? So once again, conversion has to be done in front of a court. It has to be done in front of a court of smuchim. We don't have smicha. We don't live in Eretz Yisrael. So how do we do it? So Tosfos asked that question. So there's a requirement of musmachim when it comes to when it comes to gerim. So how do we do it? So you got to make the argument. Tosfos does. But you have to make the argument that Geirus falls under the category of something which is common. Okay, now, I guess common over here means, right, it's hard to give a good quantifiable definition of what common means. But Tosfos says you're going to have to say that in order to understand how we do that. So and also another point within this Tosfos, as long as we're here, Tosfos writes, "Im tamer hey chavdin shuchatzay v'ha achshav ein mumchem be'Eretz Yisrael umi yitan lan rishus v'yishlamer tishlichus dekamay avdinan." Tosfos over here makes the following point: Shluchayu means that we are emissaries of those living in Eretz Yisrael. Tosfos over here says it goes in two directions. It goes, I'm going to just use planes on a graph, but I'll explain what I mean in just a moment. It goes horizontally and it goes vertically. Tosfos says that from the Gemara, you would have assumed that as long as there are currently mumchim in Eretz Yisrael, so we living outside of Eretz Yisrael at that time, use this idea of Shulchayhu, that we are emissaries of those living in Eretz Yisrael. What Tosfos over here is also invoking is the idea, and again, we knew this to be the conclusion, but you just have to formulate it. Tosfos says, Shluchai does not only work horizontally, it also works vertically as well. Meaning that as long as there once historically was smicha in Eretz Yisrael, so we draw from that to be able to adjudicate outside of Eretz Yisrael on things that are common. Even though currently there is no musmachim in Eretz Yisrael. So it works across and it works down as well. Tosfos says you have to say that, otherwise we of course would have no right to adjudicate anything outside of Eretz Yisrael. Let us go back to the Gemara. Let's now start the next Mishnah. I told you a couple Dapim and Gittin are going to be dedicated to the topic of rumors. This is this Mishnah and the Gemara coming up, and really the entirety of today's Daf is all circulating around rumors. So it's the right word to use in terms of describing rumors, circulation. Okay, now again, like I say, every time we have this discussion of rumors, I know, you know, right, you're not allowed to spread Lashon Hara. You can't pass it along. So it is interesting that the Halacha really does dedicate what seems to be a significant amount of real estate within the Gemara discussing the laws of how to deal with rumors. But even though the halacha, of course, is you can't speak Lashon Hara, and you can't repeat a rumor that you heard, but at the same time, however, you can't just ignore a rumor. Meaning, where there is smoke, there's fire, and the rumor is representative of something. What that something is, so you're going to be, you'll see, we're going to spend a good part of our day today in the daf discussing what exactly, how much rumor do we need, and then how much legitimacy do we place on that rumor. Okay, that's the basic discussion in our Gemara. So, Yatzah Shema Be'er Mekudeshes. Let's say the rumor is circulating that this woman is Mekudeshes, meaning that a man, and we know who the man is, in other words, the rumors include the identity of the man. A man was Mekadesh, a woman, went through the first stage of marriage, so now Harei Mekudeshes. So if that's the rumor, so then the halacha is that this woman's now Mekudeshes. Meaning, says Rashi, that she cannot accept Kedusha from anybody else, because the rumors are now such that she has already accepted kedushin from this man. Migu rashes. Now, if a woman is rumored to have been divorced, harayzim migu rashes, so then we assume that she's divorced. As Rashi points out over here, we're going to entertain for a moment that what the Mishnah means, when I say we, I mean the Gemara, we're going to entertain for a moment that what the Mishnah means is that The rumors are that she was divorced from her husband. Hey, you know what? Okay, if that's the rumor, then fine. And now she can go ahead and she can marry somebody else. We're going to entertain that pshat, but as you can easily guess, that's not going to be the pshat that we're going to accept. There is no way that we're going to allow an Eishes Ish to remarry if all we have is some gossip that she got a divorce from her husband. That obviously cannot be matir Eishes Ish. So the Gemara in just a moment is going to dispel such a suggestion, even though we suggested it. But it can't be. Uvavashale ilo yehesha mamasla. So the Gemara says, now, when is it that we have to take rumors seriously? Only if there was no amasla. And amasla is basically a built-in excuse. Meaning, here's the rumor, but here's why the rumor was spread. Meaning, it was a misrepresentation, a misunderstanding of what happened, and this is the reason why the misunderstanding occurred. If we have an amasla, an excuse, a rationalization in terms of why such a rumor spread, so to which the Gemara says, so then you can just simply ignore the rumor. Let's have a couple of examples of what an amasla would look like. Let's say the amasla is that the husband divorced his wife, but only with a condition. Oh. So now you understand that there was a divorce. That's why all the rumors were circulating, even though, together with the rumor, was this idea that there was a condition set forth, and the condition wasn't met. But now I understand why there was such a rumor, because there was actually a divorce, even though it didn't take effect because there was a condition attached to it. Oh. Another example. Zarek la kiddushu kiddusheha, safek harav lo, safek harav lo, zui amasla. Or let's say the man threw the kiddushin to her. Okay, and once again, we now have the explanation of why there's a rumor. There's a rumor that she's mekudeshes because what actually happened was a man tried to be mekanesher. But what we also now know, and as we're going to talk about later this morning, we knew already from the origination of the rumor that questionable, meaning he threw the kesef kedushin at her. We don't know where it landed. Some were close to him, some were close to her. But at least now we know why people are saying that she accepted kedushin. The Gemara immediately picks at that first point in the Mishnah. The first point of the Mishnah is that if the rumor circulated that she's Mekudeshes, she's Mekudeshes. And then the Mishnah says, and if there's rumors that she's Megurashes, she's Megurashes. The Gemara immediately says, V'asrina la agavra, v'hamar avashi, kol kala debas nisun lo chayshin alei. So the Gemara says, I can't imagine. I cannot imagine that a rumor circulating about a woman that she is that she accepted kedushin, and she's a divorced woman. When all said and done, if this woman is a married woman, we just simply ignore rumors altogether. Meaning, klal gadol. We said this earlier in the Masechta. We're going to say this again later as well. And that is, once a woman is married, anything that is not hard evidence with two edim are simply ignored. The halacha will not break up a marriage between husband and wife unless it is known with what we would consider to be qualified evidence. Otherwise, we just simply ignore rumors altogether. So the Gemara says, what's going on in our Mishnah? So the Gemara says, lo cheshin la hachi kamar. Yatzon shman bi'er mekudeshes, harezeh mekudeshes. So the Gemara says, this is the pshat in our Mishnah. Let's say we start off with the fact that a woman received kedushin from somebody. Okay, fine. She received kedushin from somebody. And again, like we said back in the Mishnah, what that now means is she can't accept kedushin from anyone else because the rumors are circulating that she accepted kedushin from so-and-so. Fine. And then, mikudeshes umigureshes. Now, let's say that the rumor was that she accepted kedushin and from that man, she also accepted gerushin as well. Meaning, the case in the Mishnah of Gerushin is not an independent case. The case of Gerushin is really part two of the rumor of part one. Part one, the woman accepted Kedushin. Part two, that same woman accepted Gerushin. That was all part of the rumor. That, the Gemara says, is the pshat in the Mishnah. So, Megadesh and Megureshes, Harei Zeh Megureshes. So now, we're going to treat her like a divorced woman. Meaning, says Rashi, she can't marry a Kohen. meaning that now that these are the rumors, meaning she's not in a position where she's a married woman, she's in a position where the rumors were she accepted Kiddushin, and then immediately afterwards or sometime afterwards she accepted Gerushin from that man. Under those circumstances, then and only then are we going to assume that she is now a divorced woman and based on those rumors, and therefore she cannot she can't marry a Kohen, and at this point in time, she can also marry anyone who's not a Kohen. My Talmud, the Gemara goes on to explain, we're on the top of Peites Amud Aleph, Kol Vishovro Imo. Because the rumor circulated, but also, at the same time, Shovro, literally the receipt, meaning the obligation, and the receipt getting out of the obligation are all part of the rumor. Amar Rav Yassal Hashem is Zana Be'ir. That was a Havamina. Oh, I'm not sure about. Remember, right. In other words, do these rumors have to come literally on the same day? Unclear. It sounds that way, but you know. Amar Rav Yassal Hashem Mizana Be'ir. Next. Let's say the rumor circulated that, not that she accepted Kiddushin, but unfortunately the rumors about her is that she slept with a man, not under the context of marriage. So, ain choshesh in law. So the Gemara says, we're not choshesh for such a rumor. Now, by the way, what are these rumors halachically going to mean for her? How are they going to affect her? Rashi points out that the rumors are not just that she slept with a man, but the man was not Jewish, or he was an Eved. Such a act of relations would result in her becoming a Zona, meaning having the status of a Zona, and at that point in time, she can't marry a Kohen. Those are the rumors. To which the Gemara says, you can ignore those rumors. My time of priestess Abamahu dechazulah. So the Gemara says, because even though those rumors are that she had relations with such a man, the chances are that she did not have relations with a man. Maybe she fooled around with a man, but not they didn't have actual relations. And so therefore the Gemara says you can ignore those rumors. Now obviously it's totally inappropriate behavior, but in terms of changing her status and making her a Zona, meaning that she can't marry a Kohen, to that degree the rumors are going to simply be ignored.
If the woman herself denied, doesn't have namana.
We don't even need her denial. Meaning that's exactly the point is that the rumors are just simply ignored. Kitanai. The Gemara says that this issue of how much information we need in order for there to be rumor is subject to a machlokas tanaim. Achla b'shuk, girgara b'shuk, hinika b'shuk. A woman is acting terribly immodest in the marketplace. She's eating in the marketplace. She is walking with a raised neck in the marketplace. She's nursing her child in the marketplace. So immodest behavior, right? Eating in public. I know we are a society that is more comfortable with it. Right, I can make admissions about my own personal behavior, but we can leave that out. But eating in public was always considered throughout the Gemara immodest behavior. Just modest people don't eat outside; they eat inside. So if this woman acts in any of these immodest ways, Rameir Omer Tetze. So Rameir says, okay, that's enough circumstantial evidence where it's going to be cause for divorce. Rabbi Kiva Omer Mishiyisu V'yitnu Ba Moses Bilvana. So Rabbi Kiva says no. That's not enough circumstantial evidence. You need the following circumstantial evidence. Rabbi Kiva is of the opinion that if the women who are spinning their thread by the moonlight, right, Rashi paints such a great picture, right? They have the women in the community, right, by the light of the moon, so they're spinning, and not only are they spinning, but they're spinning stories as well, and they're telling each other, did you hear about so-and-so, did you hear about so-and-so? And okay, it's an expression that, I don't know if you know this, but it's like the yentas of the community. So according to Rabbi Akiva, if they're talking, so then that's enough circumstantial evidence where the woman is going to have to leave her husband. So the Gemara says, "Amala Rabbi Yochanan Nuri." So Rabbi Yochanan Nuri says, and obviously he's rejecting both of the former positions, and he says, "Imkein lo anachta bala Avram Avinu shioshev." I'm sorry, "Basla Avram Avinu shioshev tachas bala." Ve'atara Amar ki masa ba ervas davar ulahalan omer al pishnai edim o al pishloshe edim yakum davar malahalan davar barav kan davar barer. So Rabbi Yochanan Nuri says, you're not going to leave a daughter of Avram Avinu permissible to her husband. Meaning, circumstantial evidence is simply insufficient grounds to create a divorce between a husband and wife. The only thing that's going to create a divorce between husband and wife is going to be evidence in the form of witnesses, edim ksherim. Them and only them are going to be enough evidence in order to break up a marriage, halachically. So you see in the price of that, some machlokas amongst the Tanaim, what exactly is the amount of circumstantial evidence necessary in order for there to be grounds of divorce. So Rav Meir takes the most extreme viewpoint, just the simple rumor circulating. Rabbi Akiva is of the opinion that those rumors have to be more set in the community. And Rav Yochanan Nuri says no. It has to be evidence in the form of edim. Tan Rabbanan. Ba'ula ein choshesh in la. Okay, and here we go now with a whole list of rumors circulating about a woman, which are just simply going to be ignored. Let's say we start off with the first rumor that a woman had relations with a man. And the Gemara says, the Brisa says, we just simply disregard these rumors. She had relations with a man. What would that? How would that affect her halachically? Well, first of all, it would affect the amount of Riksuva, but Rashi over here says, let's say she wants to marry the Kohen Gadol. Okay. Maybe this shouldn't be the best choice of a woman for the Kohen Gadol, but that would be my editorial. That's not the Rashi says the point over here being that that such a woman is okay, is acceptable to marry Kohen Gadol, because once again it's just rumors and they're not going to be taken seriously. Ein choshesh in la, nisu ein choshesh in la. Let's say the rumor is that the woman was not a penuya, she was not a single woman. So we just simply ignore those rumors. Arusa in choshesh in la, a woman is reported to have undergone erusin. We also just simply ignore them. Shelo leploni, let's say the erusin didn't even have a man attached to it, meaning she just received a kedushin from somebody. So once again, in choshesh in la, we ignore that as well. Be'ir acheres in choshesh in la, let's say the rumors were that she accepted kedushin from a person in another town. Again, we ignore them. Mamzeres in choshesh in la, let's say the rumors were that she was a mamzeres. Again, it's rumors, they're ignored. Shivcha in choshesh in la, the rumors are that she's a shivcha. We ignore that as well. Hikdash bon nechazav. Now here in these last couple of cases, the rumors are have nothing to do with sexual impropriety. These rumors are about a man being Makdish's property. Rumors are that the man was Makdish's property, so therefore this property doesn't belong to him. Hifkir plon nechasav, or the rumors are that a person was Mafkir, made ownerless his property. So once again, in choshesh in lahen, we do not concern ourselves with these rumors. We do not give any basis for these rumors whatsoever. Amar Ula. Okay. A lot of discussion in the Gemara regarding rumors, and we have to come up with some sort of halachic definition of rumors. It's very hard to do, obviously, to define what a rumor would look like, but the Gemara is going to make an attempt. Amar Ula. Lo shishamu kol havara. So the Gemara says, in order for the rumor to be a substantial rumor, it cannot be that there was some sort of literally echo. The word havara is an echo. Remember back in Rosh Hashanah, we talk about blowing the shofar, and you didn't even hear the sound of the shofar. You heard the reverberation. You heard an echo of the shofar. So the Mishnah over there says that's no good. Anyway, you heard was an echo that such a woman accepted kedushin. Gemara says that's nothing. That's just simply, Ula says that's, you just simply disregard it. In order for the rumor to be substantial, the rumor has to come in a form. And the rumor has to be something like, there were lights that were lit, and the bed was set, and people were going in and out of the house. What we would pretty much describe as a l'chaim, or a vort, meaning there was some sort of I guess you could call it like an engagement party. But again, it's not. It's more than engagement. We're talking about Eretzin. But still, there was something. There was some gathering that people got together so that you knew that they got divorced. That's what the rumor sounded like. So the Gemara says, Miskadeshes v'dama lo kitsha. So the Gemara over here has a very technical question. The rumor was that she's going to be accepting Kiddushin. Well, if that's only the rumor, okay, so who's to say that she actually accepted it? Ema plonis niskacha hayom. So the Gemara says, okay, just a small tweaking of the rumor. The rumor was that she accepted Kiddushin. V'chein tani Levi. This statement of Ula is also taught in a Braisa by Levi. And here we go, same point. Lo shishmu kol avar ela kadei shiguneres dolkos amitas motzaos v'nashim tavos la'or aner usmachos la. A lot of joy. Okay, that's what the rumor sounds like. Okay, the rumor has a form to it. And again, the Gemara goes to the same question. The rumor has to be that she accepted Kiddushin already today. So, if this was not said, so then it's an amasla, meaning we have the built-in explanation. So lo amru v'halo amru. So v'lo klum. So the Gemara says, well, wait 1 second. If nothing was said, nothing was said. What do you need an explanation for? Lafuki medarava bar Ravuna damar amasla shamru afilu mikan va'ad yud yamim kamash malan lo amru hu dehavi amasla ha amru lo havi amasla. So the Gemara says, well, in order for an explanation to be an explanation, the explanation has to be within a certain time frame of when the rumor started. Meaning, the Gemara here quotes the opinion of Rava bar Rav Huna, which we're going to go over again later. He says that the even if the explanation comes at a later point in time, he's of the opinion that such an explanation is a legitimate way of explaining away the rumor. What we're learning now is that we don't accept this viewpoint. And we're going to see that also later this morning as well. That's a viewpoint that's not accepted. In order for an amasla to have a way of explaining away the rumor, the amasla has to be coming together with the rumor. Like the examples we saw in the Mishnah. Yes, there was Kiddushin, but Safek Karavla, Safek Karavla. And that had to have been presented at the time of the rumor. If that was given at a later point in time, the Gemara here describes 10 days later, We'll see if we can pinpoint how much later. If it comes at a later point in time, so then the excuse is no excuse. Obviously, it's just that. It's just a try. It's a way to try to explain away the rumor. Amar Rabbi Abba, Amar Rav Huna, Amar Rav Lo Shishamu Kol Avar La Kedesh Yamru Ploni Mehechan Shama Miploni Aploni Miploni Ubotkin V'Holchin Ashi Megil LaDavar Barur. So the Gemara once again tries to qualify what exactly is going to be a valid rumor. You heard something from somebody. Okay, so you investigate. Where'd you hear that from? Okay, so and so, good. So then they try to trace back the rumor to its original source. So the Gemara quotes in the name of Rabbi Abba, in the name of Rav Huna, in the name of Rav, that once you have it traced back to its original source, now you got it. Now you got a rumor. So the Gemara says, Davar Barur. So the Gemara says, wait 1 second. If we trace back the rumor to its original source, so what's the original source? The original source must be people who actually saw her accept Kiddushin. That's not a rumor. You know what that's called? That's called Eidus. So the Gemara says, Eidus mal yasehi. The Gemara says, I don't understand. Why are we calling that a rumor? Ella, ki asa rashmo bar Yehuda, amar Rav Abba, amar Rav Huna, amar Rav. So it's the same shalshalos, it's the same Masara, but now with just one tweak so that we understand exactly what's being said. Lo shishamu kol avar ala kedesh yomru, ploni mehechen shama, mi ploni, uploni mi ploni, v'hauch lahem lamidina seyam. We basically got the rumor back to its source, just happens to be the source is out of town. But at least now, we are much closer to realizing that the rumor may in fact be truthful. It just happens to be that right now, we have not interviewed first-hand source. We got a second-hand source, a third-hand source, and we almost got it back to the original point of origination. Amalei Abai L'Rav Yosem, Vatlina Kala Lo Mevatlina. Okay. Once there is a rumor, what is our position regarding negating such a rumor? Do we negate a rumor? So, Okay. So do we negate a rumor? So Amar Leim Adam Rav Chisa Shishmu Mipi Aksherim Shema Minam Mevalin Kala. So he says, well, statement went by Rav Chisa, and that is until you hear from Ksherim. So it sounds like, otherwise, if you hear it from, like Rashi describes, if you hear from people who cannot testify, you hear from women, you hear from children. So it sounds like from Rav Chisa, those rumors can just simply be dispelled, negated. So the Gemara says, "Amalei Adrabah Midam Rav Sheshes Afilu Mipi Nashim Havi Kol Shema Min Alam Mevalin Kala." The Gemara says, "Well, I can show to you another statement by made by Rav Sheshes that if the rumors were circulated by women, that is considered a rumor. So if these rumors can be circulated by people who cannot testify, it sounds like once the rumor starts circulating, that's it. It has the status of a rumor. So Shema Min Alam Mevalin Kala. Amalei Atarvasa Ninhu." So, we have really conflicting reports of whether or not rumors, once circulating, can they be dismissed and dispelled. So the Gemara says there are various menhagim on this very issue, meaning this is not a clear-cut issue. Various communities take on different positions in terms of what we do with rumors. In the community of Surah, they're mevatel kol. In the community of Nahada, that's the community of Shmuel, lo mevatel kala. Okay, couple of stories. A woman had a rumor circulating about her that she accepted Kedushin from a boy in the yeshiva. He says, do me a favor, let me hear some more of the story. So So when the man was Mekadesh this girl, so it was done on condition. And the condition was that he does not go to the town bar Bechuzai. Okay, I don't know much about Bechuzai, but my best guess is that it's like Vegas. In other words, I accept Kedushin from you, but don't go to Bechuzai. Va'azel, and he didn't, and he went there. So he broke the condition. So now what we have basically is the understanding of why the rumor circulated. Because there was Kedushin, it was just done Al-Tanai. So now, we have a rumor, but we also have an Amasla. So the Gemara says, Amalei Kevin to be Ina to have a Kala, lo have a Amasla, lav kol kaminach de mechazka Amasla. So he says, no good. Why no good? Because the explanation only came well after the rumor was given. And since the explanation was given at a later point in time, so that Amasla does not work. Like we said earlier this morning, an Amasla has to be present at the time that the rumor started circulating. Another story.
Time frame,
the Gemara earlier said 10 days, but unclear. So it sounds like it needs to come out together. And the Gemara tells another story about a woman who accepted Kedushin. Now, as we know, in order for a woman to accept Kedushin, so it has to be either money or something with monetary value. Either it's Kesef or Shava Kesef. Okay, stay tuned. As we start Kedushin on Sunday, you're going to hear that point on day one on Kedushin. Kesef or Shava Kesef? It has to be something of monetary equivalency. Okay, let us call this guy not one of the most romantic men alive. He was Mekadesh the woman with unripened dates, and it wasn't even unripened dates. It was kind of like a residue of the unripened dates, which was good to feed animals with. Now, basically dog food. But look, dog food's got value, and so it was an item of value. Just, you know, you and I wouldn't call it romantic, but something of value. So the Beishipi, and it was right by the wellspring of Beishipi. Okay, so Shachar Ravidi Baravan Lakamid Abai Ki Haigavna Mai. So those are the rumors that she accepted the Kedushin, and now question. Are those rumors to be taken seriously, yes or no? So, Afila Mandam Lo Mevatlin Kala. Now, even if you take the position, which they do take in the town of Narda, where once the rumor circulates, we don't just simply dismiss the rumor. But, Baham Mevatlin Kala, Mimer Amri, Eino, Behu Rabbanan, Bekudushe, Velo Hava Behu, Sheva Pruta. So the Gemara says, but I'll tell you why over here we can just simply do away with this rumor. Because over here, even though there was no Amasla that was verbalized, but we can easily understand why the Chachamim investigated the matter and said this is no good. Because we know, it was very specific, we were given the detail of what he used to be Mekadesh with. The residue of unripened dates. Now, again, we're not really, we put romance aside over here and ask one simple question. Did it have value? Was it a Shava Pruta or was it not a Shava Pruta? That could have very well been the issue at hand over there. And the Chachamim who investigated the matter said, yeah, it doesn't have a Shava Pruta. So basically what that is an Amasla that's kind of built into the story. If in the story you have a detail which can now challenge the very validity of the act of Kedushin, the Gemara says that works as well. Gemara tells another story. There was a woman who accepted Kedushin from the son of one of the men. Once again, there was a guy who had many sons. She was accepted Kedushin from one of them. We don't know which one. The Gemara says we could just simply dismiss the rumor. Why? The Gemara says over there, once again, we could very simply say that the one son who gave her Kedushin was one who was not an adult. He wasn't yet bar mitzvah. So, again, if in the story itself you have a way of explaining away the episode, so the Gemara says we'll do that. Gemara tells another story. We'll finish today with this last story. A woman received Kedushin from what was a very tall-looking kid. Okay, so he was not precocious in thought, but he developed physically a little quicker than the rest of his classmates. Amalei Rav Mordechai le Rav Ashi have a uvde v'amra adayin lo higila leflagus reuven. So the Gemara says they investigated the matter and he did not have his wits about him, meaning he wasn't a gadol. Sheinam leflagus reuven gedolim chikrei le. The Gemara quotes a pasuk from Shiras Devara where Devar is giving Musar to the Shevet Reuven for not participating in the war. But anyway, what we get out of this pasuk is that in order to be considered a gadol, you have to be chikrei lev. You have to have your wits about you. You have to have intellect. I'm not really sure why the Gemara has to quote this pasuk to tell us that a gadol needs das. That's kind of like something the Gemara. It's a basic idea. What do we gain from this additional pasuk? I'm not sure, but anyway. But the point being is that he looked big in size, but fact of the matter is he was a katan, and therefore the kedushin is not a kedushin. And once again, a very simple way of explaining why it is that the is ainam kedushas. This woman's not kedushin. You have the amasla built into the story. Okay, we'll stop over here. We finished up the get meusa, the fourth get. Gemara describes that nowadays, even though we live in Bavel, we can still preside over cases of Gittin and Gerushin using the principle of Shluchayhu. We discussed this idea that Shluchayhu means that we are drawing from the Smicha and Eretz Yisrael, both laterally and vertically as well, like we discussed in Tosfos. Spent most of our day today talking about rumors, how to deal with rumors, what's the definition of a rumor, if the rumor has a built-in explanation, so can we use that explanation to explain away the rumor? The simple answer to that is yes, but there's more details to that as well. And God willing, tomorrow we finish up the Masechta. Everyone have a wonderful Shabbos.